first statement in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. There are three truths in this statement found in verse 9 of Matthew 6 that I want you to see this morning. And the first is that this relationship, or this prayer, is about relationships. He begins the prayer with the words, our Father. Now, there are, two relationships in those two words. The first we can call the horizontal relationship. When we say the Lord's Prayer, our focus, and rightly so, is to be on God, but there's also an emphasis here at the very beginning of the prayer on the corporate body. It is our Father. If you were to read this prayer in the language in which it was written, you would see that the first word of the prayer is actually the word Father. It would literally read Father our, or Father of us. In English, we say our Father. So in the original language, the word Father is emphasized by its position in the sentence. But there's not only an emphasis on God as our Father, there is also a corporate emphasis on us together. Jesus did not say, when you pray, pray my Father which art in heaven. He said, when you pray our Father which art in heaven. And that becomes significant. Prayer is about relationships. Here's how another writer explained it. He said, by referring to God as our Father, we are making a statement about God's loving relationship with us, but we are also saying something profound about our relationships with each other. If God is our Father, then we are compelled to treat each other as if we are brothers and sisters. This is a revolutionary call to show love and compassion to those who we don't get on with and those we don't agree with. It is a call to care for others in the family of God. Have you ever noticed in church how we all gravitate to the people who agree with us? To the people who like us and we like them because we think the same? My father was a pastor many years ago. He's gone on to heaven. But as a young pastor in his first church, I remember him telling us that he could tell at a church business meeting exactly how the vote was going to go before anybody ever voted. He said, all the no's sit on this side and all the yes's sit on this side. You see, we all gravitate to the people we agree with. But when we pray our Father, as this writer points out, we are compelled to show love and compassion to those we don't get on with in the body of Christ, to those we don't agree with in the body of Christ. One of the interesting things that I have learned, and I've learned this by going to other countries, is that here in America, we have such an emphasis on the individual and on individual rights. And there are certainly benefits that apply to our society, but there are also disadvantages. One of the disadvantages for the church is that we have lost the emphasis of the New Testament on the corporate body and how we are to impact each other and how my life is to benefit your life and how your life is to benefit my life. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, remember, it is our Father. It's about the horizontal relationship in the church. Now, the second relationship is the vertical relationship. One of the characteristics of the language of the New Testament and the language it was written in is that you can tell by where words are placed in a sentence what the writer wants to emphasize. The emphasis is placed on the first words of the sentence and on the last words of the sentence. Unfortunately, when you translate into another language, we often lose that emphasis. In the Lord's Prayer, the word Father is at the very beginning of the prayer. So the emphasis of the Lord's Prayer first is on this vertical relationship. The emphasis is on God. And it's on our relationship with God. There are many different titles that Jesus could have used in this prayer. He could have said, Almighty God, hallowed be thy name. Or he could have said, Eternal God, hallowed be thy name. Or God Most High. Or Creator God. And all of those things would have been appropriate. They would each have emphasized a different aspect of God. But what he chose was the simple, common word for Father. It's a word that was used in every Jewish home. It's the title that emphasized the loving relationship between a father and a child. It's a title that draws those two parties together in a relationship. When you come to God in prayer, you are coming as the child who is loved by the Father. You're coming as one who has an intimate relationship with God. You're coming to one who knows what you need, and he is only going to give you the best. Remember that in your life. David prayed for his mother-in-law this morning, and he asked God to work in her life and to take care of her. But I can tell you this, God is only going to give his best. Sometimes God's best is to take his children home. Sometimes God's best is to heal that person. Just remember, whatever happens in your life, God is giving you the best. The Lord's Prayer and all of our prayers are, first of all, about relationships. And that's why it's important to pray. Because as you pray, you are building relationships with others in the family of God and with God Himself. And so this prayer begins with the words, Our Father. The second truth in the Lord's Prayer is that this prayer is about the sacred. Our Father, which art in heaven. I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think back to your last prayer. That might have been this morning, it might have been last night, sometime yesterday. Even maybe think back to the last two or three times you prayed. What was the primary focus of your prayer? If you're like most people, and if you're honest with yourself, you were the focus of your prayer. I know that's true in my life. It's typical for most Christians. We pray about our needs. We pray about our sicknesses. We pray about our families. We pray about our disappointments. We pray about our hurts. We pray about our plans. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying about those things. In fact, later in our study, we will see that Jesus addresses praying for your needs. But prayer is to be first about the sacred and then about the secular. It is to be first about the heavenly and then about the earthly. By saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, Jesus is drawing our attention to something and to someone who is better than what we know today. He is drawing our attention away from ourselves and from our problems and from our lives, away from this life with all of its cares and all of its concern, to a place that is far better. In over 30 years of preaching, I have only preached on heaven one time. And part of the reason for that is, I just don't know how to explain heaven to you. I don't have the words to help you see what heaven is like. Christian songwriters have tried for centuries to paint pictures of heaven for us. Some of the old hymns talk about being an heir to a mansion, a robe, and a crown. Another old hymn talked about streets of gold. They often focus on times when disappointment, grief, and fear are gone. Sorrow forgot, love's purest joys restored. Contemporary songwriters have tried to paint a picture of heaven for us. How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. Another contemporary writer wrote these words: "This world is not what it was meant to be. All this pain, all this suffering, there's a better place waiting for me in heaven. Every tear will be wiped away, every sorrow and sin erased. We'll dance on seas of amazing grace in heaven. I'm going home where the streets are golden." A song written probably 20, 25 years ago might have said it best. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes would see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Well, we know that heaven will be wonderful, and we know that all the pain and suffering will be over. We really know very little about heaven. And I think that when we finally get there, we will be amazed. Today, we can only imagine. But God wants to direct our attention to what will be. And so we are told to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." The third truth from Matthew 6 and verse 9, and I think this is the fundamental truth, is that this prayer is about God. Hallowed be thy name. This phrase brings us into the realm of God. The term hallowed is from the word for holy, and it directs our thoughts to who God is. He's not only our personal Father, but he is also the Holy God. His name represents who he is. Holy is your name. He's a holy God. He is a God who is to be worshipped. The Jewish people had such reverence for God and the name of God that they would not even pronounce his name. It never crossed their lips. And that is the God that we come to when we pray. The Holy God. The God whose name is above every name. And the New Testament writer tells us that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. When we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are praying that we will be worthy of this name, that we will honor him with our lives, that we will carry his name with honor. When we pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," we are recognizing first that we have a personal relationship with this God. We are recognizing that life is not so much about what happens here, but it is about what will happen there. We are recognizing that we serve and we live for a holy God. And so I want to leave you this morning with a Christian's call to action. That's the title of this series, the call to action. The Lord's Prayer is a prayer that we can pray, but it is also a call to action. And our action is really threefold. It is, first of all, to engage in a personal relationship with our loving Father. Can I ask you this morning, how's your relationship? If I was to say to you, how's your relationship with your wife? How's your relationship with your husband? How's your relationship with someone else in the church? You would know exactly what I was talking about, and you would know exactly what to say. Well, my wife and I have not been doing so well lately. We're sort of on the outs. You know, I've been sleeping on the sofa. Can I ask you how your relationship is with God? We are called to build this relationship, to spend time with Him, to enjoy His presence. To engage, excuse me, in a personal relationship. Secondly, we have been called to put our focus not on what is, but on what will be. To spend time thinking about heaven. To spend time meditating on heaven. To long for heaven. My oldest granddaughter, who is in her first year of college, but hasn't finished high school yet, will have her high school graduation in June. And we're making plans to be there. And we're sort of longing. We haven't seen our grandkids in quite a while. And we're longing to be there. Are you longing to go to heaven? Listen, if you're like me, I think of heaven and I think, well, Lord, if you could just wait till after my granddaughter's graduation, that'd be really swell. Well, Lord, if you could just wait until I get this or I do that, or Lord, if you could just hold it off a little bit. Yeah, I want to go to heaven, but God, can just hold it off a little while. Our longing for heaven should be, God, come now. I've had enough of this world. Remember that song, "This World Is Not What It Was Meant to Be"? All the pain, all the suffering. We ought to be waiting and longing for heaven. The third call to action is to recognize God and honor Him with our lives as the God of holiness. I've often, you see these advertisements for Christian t-shirts or Christian sweatshirts, and it says something about, you know, I'm a Christian, etc. And I thought about that the other day, and then I thought, you know what's really popular? I don't want you to raise your hand if you have a tattoo. But tattoos are really popular today. I rather think we have quite a few people here in this church who have tattoos. And maybe we should just have tattooed across our forehead, "I'm holy." Just let everybody know, "I'm holy like God." Boy, that'd put you on the spot, wouldn't it? Our call to action is to recognize God and honor Him with lives of holiness. A call to action has a certain expectation. It's an expectation that we will do something. God has an expectation of all of us, and that is that we will be obedient. Would you say it with me? You can remain seated. Say it with me one more time. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Father, that is our prayer this morning, that the relationship we build with you will be one that focuses our thoughts on heaven. It will be one that focuses our lives on holiness. Lord, help this prayer not to be something that we just rotely say, something we've memorized because we have to. Help it to be something that tugs at our hearts and causes us to act in a way that you want us to act. Lord, touch us. Touch our hearts. Touch our lives. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.